over the course of this year, have you been enjoying some of our preaching journeys we've been
through together? We have just recently, last week, we started our series called Family Values. And what we're looking at is a couple of specific proverbs, you know, some things that we could draw from, some inspiration. Last week, we looked at friends and neighbors and how we could do that. I want to encourage you, go onto our YouTube channel and on our app. You saw that on our announcements. You'll be able to get that, all the details there, and watch them and share it with your life group as well. I really want to encourage us to be intentional with our time with God and in God's Word. Now, many of us might think, and I'm going to sit down today for today's message because I want to have a conversation. I don't want to preach at you today because we're speaking about being family. And so often, I don't know what goes through your mind, but sometimes when we think about families, or even like today's topic is around husbands, we would think, yeah, but I'm not married. I don't have any children. How is today's message going to be of any worth or value to me? And I want to encourage you to hang in there. We're going to touch on some things that I believe would be really helpful and life-giving to you and to me. But also in the series that we would learn, if you're not in that category, that you'd maybe take a few notes for the future. And if you've got some friends that around you that are in that space, you can encourage them with some just some things from God's Word for us. So I'd like to start off with a bit of a story. Let's say there's a man called Mark, not Mark Bailey in America, but Mark, he lives here in Klerksdorp, here in the Northwest. And something I've observed about living here in Klerksdorp is that life can be quite busy, can be quite distracting, hurried from one sports activity to the next, lots of business stuff happening, many, many things calling for our attention. And so Mark is finding himself, just like you and me, in this place. But if you had to take a bit of a closer look at his life, you'd notice that he has a vibrant and life-giving marriage relationship with his wife and his children, and he's got a dog as well. If you look from far away, you'll think, oh, he looks just like you and me. But if you take a bit of a closer look, there's some attributes and some aspects of his life that I think you and I could probably and quite possibly learn from. And so if we looked at a little bit closer, you'll see that he, like I said, has a close friendship with his wife. He's not just married to somebody. He actually enjoys the journey of the person that he's with. He's actually engaged in a vibrant relationship. Now, I check some of the arms are going, some of the hands are squeezing, and husbands and wives, this is your opportunity. This is, you can really milk this moment. You can really milk this moment. But not only does he have a good friendship with his spouse or with his wife, but he also has, in their marriage, they've chosen to put God at the center. And they've chosen to make all of their life decisions, to build some of their schedules and some of the things they say yes to and some of the things they say no to around some of the things that they have found in God's Word and prioritizing some of the things that God has highlighted. And then lastly, we see that he is a bit of a warrior, not a warrior, a warrior. Somebody with some tools in his hand. Somebody who protects his family with love, care, and concern, and uses his words to upbuild his family. And so in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 22, is one of my favorite proverbs because I, from time to time, get into this habit of reading a proverb a day. It says a proverb a day keeps the doctor and everybody else away. So if you, it's 31 chapters. If you read a proverb a day, you can get through one every month and you'll just work through the book of Proverbs. But my wife and I, we're celebrating 17 years of marriage this coming November. On the 18th of November is our anniversary. And the morning I got up and got ready to get married was that morning. I sat down and I was reading the Proverbs and my proverb for the day, and I'm like, wow, look at this. Proverbs 18 verse 22 says, he who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. And I was like, thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm making the best decision of my life. I'm about to get upgraded. Hey, anybody needs some upgrading? Or actually, some of the guys I know, you know you got upgraded. Hey, you know, you know. But the first thing, question I want to ask you and me, if you're a husband in the room, and maybe even in all of your relationships, is, Is your wife your best friend? Is your wife your best friend? Are you looking for opportunities to build a friendship with your wife rather than a partnership? So many of us live kind of in a transactional space because of the busyness of life, and we end up almost treating our spouses like they're teammates. You know, we're on the field and we pass the ball to each other and we check in with each other. We've got a good working relationship. But if we had a gap, if we had a moment by ourselves, we would much rather spend it by ourselves than want to spend it with our spouse. Now, that doesn't happen. You know, having a friendship doesn't happen by itself. It takes some intentionality. It takes some time. It takes something from us. And I'm, having been married now for a little while, I've realized that Gareth is very selfish. And Gareth doesn't like to be inconvenienced. And Gareth also realizes that the best thing for me is when my wife is in a good space. And when I'm feeling like I'm really connected. We're not living past one another, but we're taking on every opportunity to show love and care and concern for one another. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, it says, a friend loves at all times. This sums up this concept of friendship within the marriage. And I believe that if you and I are willing to embrace this as a common practice and actually begin to look at one another as friends and wanting to cultivate. Now, what do friends do? Friends stick around. Am I right? You can depend upon a friend. A friend is also looking out for opportunities to encourage us. Friends are there. It's like, hey, man, I've got nothing to do. Do you want to join me? You've got some of those people in your life. Hey, some of you are going, I don't have any of those people. Not even my spouse is that person. Can I encourage us to carve out some time, to find people in your life that you can call on? And I found in the richest times of my life have been when I've had a close friendship relationship with my wife. Now, remember, friends, marriage is something for the long haul. You know, none of us actually ever get married. I've sat with many couples over the years, and nobody gets married and says, we're going to give it a shot. You know, 50% of marriages end in divorce. We're going to give it a 50% shot. We're going to try. We're going to give it a go. If that's how you think about it, then I'm going to encourage you, don't get married. Rather settle in your heart that you're going to go for the long haul. But when we commit to that kind of relationship, and I'm sensitive to the fact that many of us have had failings in our lives, but God is yet to restore, and we can make some adjustments today that will help us into the future. And so our friends are there to walk with us in the highs and the lows, and we begin to celebrate one another. As Bill Johnson says, honor is celebrating someone for who they are without stumbling over what they are not. And so many couples, and I've gone through seasons when I would spend time with Ainsley and I would think, man, this is, you know, this thing you keep saying, the things you keep doing, and I'm sure she's had some of those moments, not very often with me, you know. I'm just that good, but you know, I'm just that guy. I say I'm going to do. If I say I'm going to fix it, that she doesn't have to remind me every 6 months that I have to do it. It's just the reality. Like, but friends, when we're in it for the long haul, we choose daily to overlook some of those shortcomings, continue to encourage one another towards godliness. Now, maybe we could look at it maybe from a practical standpoint. Think of somebody, maybe a colleague, someone that you know. Let's give him a name, David. David is kind of finding himself in a relationship right now. His marriage is not very exciting. He's going through the motions, and the busyness of life is happening, and the kids, and the school, and the work, and the pressures. And he feels like he's a really good husband because he still provides, and you know, he's still present, like his body is there, but his mind and his heart's elsewhere. On the golf course, maybe, or and one day he starts scrolling through some of his old photos. And as he scrolls, he begins to see all of the fun opportunities and memories he's made with his wife and his children. And he begins to long for those days. taking stock of his life and going, yes, I've just been running from one busyness to the next. I'm a product of someone else's calendar that they've imposed upon me. And I haven't really taken the time to make and to be a friend to my spouse. And so having been inspired by a desire to say, listen, I can actually build this into my life, he begins to make some adjustments. He decides to actually look at the day and the week ahead and say, listen, I'm going to plan my week. So often, when we find ourselves in a major crisis in our lives, and I've shared and I've heard this now from professionals, is that the reason why we find ourselves in a crisis is because we at some point didn't take care of the little things. And so those little things are all little dots, you know. I've never met a man that woke up one morning and said, yes, today is a good day to commit adultery. But if you look at his life beyond or behind that, you'll see, oh, at some point he started slipping in his devotion to God. He spent more time on social media, constantly being allured to some questionable sites and posts. Eventually, from time to time, dabbling in some pornography. Then finding himself driving around and just wondering, oh, what would it be like if I could have an illicit affair with someone? Just in his mind. But one day, when it seems like everything has aligned, he finds himself trapped. But it didn't happen overnight, friends. And so if we want to have a vibrant marriage and relationship, it starts with some putting some things aside. And it's really not that difficult. I'm gonna at the end of each of my points, I'm gonna give you a couple of practical things you can do. And I want you to see how simple it is. And I've just found that it's in the simplicity that there is tremendous power. I'm trusting that God would set us free and empower us with that. So David is now inspired. He starts having some date nights. He starts putting some time aside, maybe some money aside for some holidays, some moments where he could connect with his wife. Sometimes instead of rushing into the house and all the kids are crazy, actually just giving him and his wife said, listen, we're going to have some couch time. Tell the kids, from this time to this time, we're having a cup of coffee together. Mom and dad are going to talk. No interruptions. Unless it's a fire or you've broken your brother or your sister's arm, we don't want to hear about it. And most children, even if a very, very small, can actually cope with that. It's a very simple thing to do. But he began to do that and he started seeing his whole relationship change. Where no longer was he a spectator on the memories of the past, but he now was he was an active participant in shaping the future that he wanted to see. Because every single day he was making some small decisions which would give him a healthy life and marriage into the future. So here are some questions that you can ask or some things that you can put into your into place with your spouse in building this friendship relationship. Sit down, husbands. This is no freebie for you. This one's for free. You don't have to pay me. We've already taken up the offering. No problem. Don't need to upgrade your gifts. But here it is. Sit down with your wife and ask her what would make her feel like she can really connect with you. So many spouses, we live in this sort of realm of assumption. Then we go watch some rom-com thing and be like, yes, I could never do this major, you know, gesture of love and affection. And so we don't do anything. But most of the time, if we just ask, listen, can you just give me 5 minutes? Can we just sit down and let's talk about this? Let's not rush or run away. The second thing you and I can do is that we could actually listen. You know how many times I found myself in the room, nodding, but I'm not listening. And so many wives, I know the complaint is, yes, husband doesn't listen to me. So when you have those moments, those eyeball to eyeball times, just take the moment to put the phone away, put the distractions away, and just really focus. And as you listen, don't look for opportunity to give advice, to fix the problem. Just listen. Just listen. Okay, I'm getting some points here. The third thing, next to God in your life, put your spouse first. Your spouse should be the first person you think about after you've had your time of prayer and speaking to Jesus. Your first prayer priority should be your spouse and your family, because God has called us to lead there first. If we're not successful in the home, we will not be able to be successful fully out in the world. The fourth one is a real obvious one. Surprise her from time to time. You know, I don't know, chocolate from time to time, a bit of flowers. Those things are, they go a long way. And the last one, and this one's really obvious, but I've found I have to remind myself to do this. Say, I love you every single day. And say it often. Because we just go, oh, the next thing, oh, the kids, oh, the craziness, oh, mwah, okay, bye, you know. Just connect with one another. Take the time to connect with one another. So the second question I want to ask, that's our first one. Build a friendship with your wife. Secondly, is God at the center of your life and your marriage? Now, I know this is really obvious, and you guys are like, yes, Gareth, this is really easy, man. Come on, give me something hard to do. But if I had to ask us, how well are you doing? Is God truly the center of your own personal life? And is he at the center of your marriage? I remember Ainsley and I were just dating, and we were like, you know, most of our prayer times was just, Lord Jesus, help us not to fall into sin again. We're just struggling to, we're really struggling, Lord, help us. We were struggling just to get to know one another. We were struggling in those areas. But I remember saying to her, listen, let's have some time of worship together. We're going to worship together. And so I got my CD, back those days with some CDs, my favorite CDs. I put it on and I'm like, yes, I'm connecting with Jesus. It's awesome. And I'm like, she doesn't look like she's really connecting so well. After a while, I'm like, listen, is everything okay? She's like, yeah, the music's a little bit rocky and it's quite intense, you know? Because I enjoy complicated music and I can experience God like that. But for her, she's like, Lord, is this okay? Friends, when we are making space for God, sometimes it's as awkward as it may seem. Putting him in the center is just taking moments to pray together, listen to some music, sing a song, maybe even just hum along. But there's something that shifts in our hearts. I can sometimes be in the worst of places when I choose to fix my eyes on Jesus. When I choose to say to my wife, I know we're still working some stuff out and it's not perfect yet, but can we take a moment to allow God to speak to us? It's amazing how the pressure lifts. The intensity that we're experiencing begins to actually dissipate, and we begin to be able to see the wood from the trees. We're able to make some wise decisions. And so in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6, it says, in all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. If you want to experience success in your life, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. That's what it says in the previous verse. And then submit to God. What does it mean to submit, friends? I'm speaking to husbands here. Many of us love that Ephesians passage. Wives must submit to their husbands. But if you read a little bit further, it says husbands should imitate Christ. Submission is not someone taking control over me. Submission says, I'm bringing what I have and who I am, my energy, the life, the vigor, the gifts, the passions. I'm bringing all of those things alongside, on mission. I'm bringing my life into mission, into line with what God is wanting to do. And when husbands are in submission to God's plan and will, wives find it much easier to submit to them. You hear that, eh? You hear that. So friends, I want to ask you, many of us might be, you know, you're reflecting now as I'm speaking. You're looking at your own life and you're going, yes, but Gareth, how do I do that? How do I put God at the center of my life? I've spent many, many weekends and nights out and things with men. And to be honest, When I think about, and this is how I used to think about, like spending time with God, with my wife, is like so awkward. It feels so awkward. Okay, we're going to pray now, eh? Okay, you go first. No, you go first. And often the wives are like expecting us husbands to be like, the Lord has spoken to me. I just feel like, you know, it's the glory cloud enters in and he is like anointed. He is ready to go. Machine gun. Let's just take everything. He's like RoboCop on steroids, you know. But most husbands are actually quite insecure. Can I give you wives a little bit of a hint? We're not insecure as in like we're not capable. We're insecure because we really genuinely want to lead. And we want to do well. And what you can do, a freebie for the wives, encourage him. And sometimes if you're the one that has to, for the 20th time, say, can we please now have some quiet time together? You know what? After a while, he's going to catch on. It's important to me that we have time with God. And wives, we are... You know, wives in general are a little bit more spiritually minded and just open to those things. Help your husbands by encouraging them in the process. Don't judge them. Don't ridicule them. Don't frustrate them. But allow them to come and to step into that. Because as we do that, I've just seen how a liberty comes. We take a bit of that awkwardness out of the experience. And we begin to walk in more of what God has for us. Because when God is truly at the center of our lives and our marriages, friends, I have just seen the times when I'm close to Jesus and I feel like I've got a good connection with my wife and our relationship with him, you know what? There's peace in the home. Even if we've gone through like major challenges and pressure and finances and health issues or challenges with the children, when we are centered with God together, we see God's fruit in our lives begin to unfold. And I want to encourage us, especially friends, there is a sense that needs to take place, I think, in our, when you're praying together, sometimes all you need to do is just say, Lord, I pray for my wife, pray for you to bless her, give her a good day, and help me to be a better husband. That's not a difficult prayer to pray. But as you and I engage in that space, you and I will be able to, I think, experience more of what God has for us. So here's some practical things that you and I can do as husbands. So if you and I need to be convinced that if our wives want God to be at the center of our marriages, how much more does God want that for us? And so you and I need to realize we've got our spouses that are encouraging us. We've got all of heaven behind us to say, listen, you can, and I want you to have a close relationship with me. I want you to, some practical things, to prioritize, just get into a good church. You're here already, so I'm speaking to the converted. Maybe some of you watching today, I want to encourage you, get into a local church. Don't just be a spectator. Don't just sit in a row, but find yourself in a circle. Do life with other people. Get involved. Bring your talents, your treasures. Bring what God has placed within you to the fore. Because when we do that, when we prioritize that, I think it helps us to continue to be centered in our relationship with God. Pray with your wife every single day and keep it simple, like I said. Read the Bible together. Now, some of us, for my wife and I, we sometimes are working through devotionals. Sometimes we're reading through a book of the Bible together during this identity series. In the mornings, we sit with our kids, we read the passage together, the part. It's really not that difficult. If you just have that as a basis, then I think God will give us some of those extraordinary moments because we've created space and margin together. Also, take some time to talk about it. You know, when I'm discipling my kids, the best thing I can do is not tell them what to do and how to do it, but actually to ask them, what is God saying to you? You read this passage. What stands out to you? Simple questions. But I believe it's so effective. And then take some time to pray regularly and ask God to help you in that. Now, the third one is God wants you and I to be a warrior as husbands. Like I said, not a warrior, someone that causes worries for people in your family, but a warrior. And I asked Ainsley to bring this sword. It's more like a paper paperweight, a letter opener. But she gave me this on our wedding day. And she had inscribed warrior into it. And every time I think about our relationship and my role, I'm reminded of this gift. Now, I know in our modern day, it's like, what's this worry? Like, the age of chivalry is dead. You know, how am I a warrior in my family? It means that you and I, we set the tone. We also set the boundaries. We create safety for our wives. And how do we do that? We don't go and chop things' heads off, but we actually, some of the best ways that I've been able to protect and guard my wife is sometimes looking at her life and saying, listen, love, I think you're a little bit overwhelmed at the moment. I can see you've got a lot happening right now. Let me take this from you. I'll handle this. You don't have to worry about this. I'll do this. Also, sometimes in our conversation, I'll see that there are some pressures that are being placed on her by others. And I've got to step in and say to her, listen, my love, that's not true. Don't carry that. That's someone else's issue. In our relationships as well, I think it's important to also encourage our wives with our words and our actions. And when we are guarding them, we're guarding them in not only our words and our actions, but we're also guarding them in a spiritual sense. And I really want to implore you, friends. I know when I've not been in the best of spiritual spaces and I've engaged in some unhelpful behavior or thoughts, I've opened my family up for attack. And this is a very serious thing, friends. God wants you and I to be the guardians, the ones that stand at the gate, that say, I'm going to keep the enemy at bay. I'm going to be aware of the enemy's schemes. I'm also not going to allow other people to put things on my wife that isn't hers to carry. And in my words and in my actions, I'm going to express my love for her. Proverbs 24, verse 11 to 12 says, rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those staggering towards slaughter. You're like, wow, Gareth, how does that like even touch anything? But friends, this is really what we do. We are busy with life and death realities. And if we have eternity in our hearts, and we're willing to say, Lord, help me, empower me, I believe God helps us to really keep the enemy at bay. So what are some practical things that you and I can do as we are this warrior? To be a warrior means the definition on Google says that it's an experienced, brave fighter, someone who has great vigor and courage. Friends, that's who we are. Now, some of you like me, I'm a bit more of an introverted guy. I'm not outspoken, and I don't command every room I walk into. But I found that when I am secure in God, secure in my call, secure in my role in a particular space, I'm able to live that out with freedom. And I want to encourage you as guys, friends, we can and we should express that in increasing measure. And so the first thing you and I need to do is we need to take up our roles as leaders of our homes. But there's a very specific type of leader, servant leadership. So often I've been tempted. I find myself, I'm there on the couch, I'm just scrolling through. Amen. Another thing, another one. And then I realize I can check there's some work to be done here, but I'm finding other things to do. Can we take up our role and step forward? I believe one of the areas that we can do is to ask ourselves, what are some of the areas in my life that I've allowed the enemy to come into, or some areas of my life that I could actually be more of a warrior leader? Maybe you have in your conversation with others, sometimes you complain about your wife. Oh, my wife would never do that. Oh, my wife always says this. Or do we actually build them up when we're in that company? When other guys are complaining about their wives, we're like, hey, man, yes, my wife never does any of that. Even if she does it. Sometimes I find when my words are to the positive, I begin to reap something of the positive in my life. The third thing is that you and I should level the playing field by going first. Be the first one to say, sorry, jammer, I messed up. So often, we expect our spouses to be the first one. No, she must pray first. He must pray first. He must ask. This we always expect the other to go first, but as leaders in the home, friends, can we be the ones that go first? Make sure that we apologize. And also to even sometimes have that conversation. My wife and I have at times had that when we sit down and I say to her, listen, can we just unclog the pipe a bit? Is there anything I've been doing, even in the past, that you have found very unhelpful? And it's been so helpful for me. Because sometimes it's a blind spot. I didn't see it, and I'm so thankful that God highlighted that through that as well. And then lastly, friends, pray and ask God for courage. Friends, I have just seen the fruit of being willing to say, Lord, I need you. Best prayer I can pray. Charles Spurgeon said, short prayers are long enough. Really, really true, friends. And I believe that as we come to the Lord in our daily walk and our wives see that we're trying and we're doing what we can do, actually I think it changes so much of who we are. And so as we reflect upon what we've learned today, we looked at the fact that you and I are called to be friends of our spouses and to cultivate that friendship. That friendship doesn't happen by itself. It takes intentionality, but it is something that's really simple. Most of our relationships didn't come at a cost. If you think about it, it didn't cost you any money, cost you time and intentionality. In the same way, you and I can express that. Also, secondly, that we would put God at the center of our marriages and our relationships. And I want to ask you, perhaps you're here today and you know that God isn't at the center. It's okay if that hasn't been, just make the adjustment. And if God is at the center, continue to do so. And then lastly, think about how you and I can really express our role as guardians and warriors within our families. Can I pray for us together? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, I just thank you right now, Lord, for your grace, for your empowering, Lord. I thank you also, Lord, that this morning, you're not coming with an accusing finger, but you're coming with an encouraging hand, Lord. Your hand behind us saying, come on, you can do it. Lord, I thank you for our marriages and the relationships that are represented here, whether it's spouses or friends or family. Lord, I pray for us as a church, we would know you, prioritize you, put you first in our lives. And Lord, that we would look to you to strengthen us, to build us up, to help us to walk in your ways in increasing measure, Lord. Thank you also, Lord, for the husbands that are here. I pray, Holy Spirit, for your anointing upon us all. Lord, you're empowering. For your love and concern to flow through us. That we would be a safe place for our wives and our children. That we would be the ones that set the tone in our families around what we're going to prioritize. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And Lord, I believe and I'm trusting you, Lord Jesus, for all the men in our church, Lord, to live and express that. Not lording it over, but serving, Lord Jesus. Laying down our lives as you have laid down your lives for us, Lord. We worship you, Jesus, and we thank you. Now, friends, I want to ask you, just as we are praying, if you're here today and you, as I said, have not made Christ the center of your life, the Lord, the Savior, can I ask you to do that today? It's really actually very simple. This is what it really means. It's first of all, you and I accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior and understand that He accepts you and I just as we are. He's not going to leave you as you are, but He accepts you right now as you are. And so in light of His acceptance, you and I also need to receive then His forgiveness And that forgiveness means that we need to recognize that we've messed up. We haven't measured up to God's standard. And fortunately, friends, that standard is not something that you and I earn by our goodness, our faithfulness, but we earn or receive it by putting our faith in Jesus. And I want to encourage you to do so. Friends, as we put our faith in Jesus and we receive His acceptance and forgiveness, we also then, you and I, find new purpose. There's a new purpose for you in God. There's a purpose in what He wants to express through your life. And so as you put your faith in Him, I want to encourage you to align yourself with God's purposes as you study His Word, as you connect with the local church, as you find yourself in a life group, and that you and I would begin to live today as if we're going to continue to experience God's power and presence for eternity, because that's really what it means. Our lives are transformed. And so if that's you today, if you want to put your faith in Jesus, I'd love to pray with you. If you wouldn't mind standing for me, just stay where you are. I know many people are looking around, but that's okay. Jesus sees you as well. If that's you today and you want to put your faith in Jesus, and won't you quickly stand for me? Anyone like that today? God, you want to put God at the center of your life? Nice. Every person saved you today. I see someone's recommitting there. Wonderful. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Friends, let's pray together. Holy Spirit, I thank you for transformed hearts and lives. And I thank you, Jesus, that right now you see this man, you see his heart and desire to honor you, to put you at the center of his life. I pray, Father, that you'd surround him with people and that he would surround himself as well, put himself in a place where he can continuously be encouraged, to be built up, to walk out your purposes and plans, to receive your forgiveness right now. Never again, Lord Jesus, would he need to respond and say, I need to come back to you, Lord. But from this day forward, I thank you, Jesus, that you've snatched him out of darkness into light, Lord. And you're bringing him into a new life with you, Jesus. Empowering him, Holy Spirit. Fill him with your Spirit, Lord Jesus. And friends, then for the rest of us, I want to ask us to stand and to do business with God. If there's something specific